Today's daf is Chulin Daf Samache, and we are 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Dalet Amid Beis Omar Chizkia. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Chava Miriam Basmalka Freida and Shloima Ben Chayale. So we're moving along at the tail end. That's a pun. Everything's a pun in Masechtas Chulin. But at the tail end of Perek Elu Treifas, discussing the halachos related to the simonim of an oif. On that note, zokt de Gemara. Omar Chizkia. Chizkia said, Minayin lebeitzas tmeya shehi asura min ha-toira. How do you know that an egg that's hatched by a non-kosher bird is itself non-kosher? Shenemar, the pasuk says, ve'isbas hayana. So one of the many oifes that the Torah mentions as being a non-kosher oif is the bas hayana. What is the bas hayana? Ostrich balaz. But the Torah describes this bird as the bas hayana. Freik chizkio, v'chi bas yesh lo liyana. Does the yana have a daughter? Now, why not? The yana can have a daughter, the yana can have a son. Chizkia's kasha was that daughter makes sense in the event that the animal is going to deliver the child from its womb. But being that we're dealing with oifes who hatch and lay eggs, so the word bas is actually an inappropriate word. So what does it even mean, bas hayana? Elo ezuzuz beitzat meya. It must be that the bas is referring to the egg. And why would the Torah mention the egg and not just mention the yana? Probably to teach me a chiddush la'alacha, and that is that just like the yana herself is a non-kosher bird, so to an egg that comes from a yana is going to be a non-kosher egg. Feit the Gemara, it's a nice shtickle Torah. But v'dilma hainu shmayo, maybe the name of the ostrich is not the yana, but the name of the ostrich is the bas hayana. You're asking Akasha, bas hayana must mean it's the egg. Oh, you see from here, the egg is also non-kosher. But maybe the name of the bird is the bas hayana, meaning maybe the Lashon HaKodesh, the way to describe the ostrich, is not yana, it's bas hayana. But the Gemara says, lo yisol kedaitoch, you can't say that, because there's a pasuk, and this pasuk is in Eicha Perek Dalet. So, dover bi'itoy matoiv, bas ami la'achsar kaye'enim ba'midbar. The Navi Yirmiyahu describes Klal Yisrael as like the Ye'enim in the Midbar, just like the ostriches, they mourn and they wail in the Midbar. That's the way Klal Yisrael was circa the Churban. But the ostrich is referred to not as the Bas HaYa'ana, but rather as the Ya'ana. But the Gemara says, I hear what you're saying, but V'loi, can you tell me that the ostrich is not referred to as the Bas HaYa'ana? Meaning this pasuk in Eicha seems to suggest that what's the name of the ostrich? It's the Ya'ana. But there's another pasuk. This is a Micha Perek Aleph. It says, V'hoksiv eso misbeit ketanim ve'evel kibnois Ya'ana. Again, same context, talking about the mourning of Klal Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael is going to mourn like the Bas Yana, Kibnois Yana, and says the Gemara, no, Ba'olam, the name of the bird might be the Yana. Aye, what does it mean in that pasuk, the evil Kibnois Yana? What it means is, Kiyana Zuch Misabelos Albana. It's not that the Bnois Yana is the name of the bird, it's the bird's name is the Yana. Bnois Yana, because she's Misabelos Albana. Meaning Klal Yisrael is wailing and mourning like the Yana wails and mourns over her daughters. But the Gemara says another pasuk. It says, Vishachnu Sham Benois Yana. They're going to reside there, the Benois Yana. Again, a mashal to Klal Yisrael. But again, you see that the Lashon that's used is Benois Yana. Says the Gemara, there too, Ki Yana Zusha Shaychenes in Baner. Vishachnu Sham, the Yana in Benois Yana. But not that the name is the Benois Yana. But there's another pasuk. It says, Techabdeni Chayas Sade. This pasuk talks about how Klal Yisrael is singing Shira Takadosh Baruch Hu, and Techabdeni Chayas Sade that mechabed me, the Chayas Sade mechabed me, like the Tanim are mechabed me, like the Bnois Yana are mechabed me. Now, Bishloimo, if you're going to tell me the name of the bird is the Bnois Yana, so this is Perek Shira, right? But if you're going to tell me that the name is really the Yana and the Bnois is referring to the Beyo, Beitza Bas Meima Shirahi, does it make sense that an egg could sing Shira? Elamai, it's Pasha that the name must be the Bnos Yana. So again, Amar Chizkiya, Minayin LeBeitz Has Tamei Yoshi Tamei. How do you know that the Beitz of a Tamei is itself Tamei, is itself Aser? We learn it from the Bas Hayana. Why are we talking about the Bas Hayana? Talk about the Yana. It must be that the Bas, which is the egg, because it doesn't really have a Bas, is Aser. And Agav Urchi Kamashmalan, in the Pasik that talks about all the Oifis Tameiim, that you should know the egg that comes from a Tamei is going to be Tamei as well. But the Gemara's Grace Akasha is, V'dilma Hainu Shmayu, maybe the name of the bird is the Bas Hayana. And even though it's true, you do find that the bird is referred to as the Ya'ana, Bas Amila Achsarka Ya'ina Bamidbar, Eicha Perek Dal, but there's so many psukim that seem to suggest that the name of the bird is also the Bas Ya'ana. Esa Misbeit Ketane Ve'evil Kibnois Ya'ana. So although it's true you find that it's referred to as the Yana, but you also find that it's referred to as the Bas Yana, which means there's no diyuk to be had from the fact that this pasuk describes it as the Bas Yana. All the Nevi'im used to describe it as the Bas Yana. And if that's the case, what was Chizkiya's diyuk? So the Gemara says, let me explain. Chizkiya knew that sometimes you find the Yana and sometimes you find the Bas Yana. And just from the word Bas Yana in and of itself, there was no diyuk to be had. But Vashani Hacha B'Chizkiya knew the Pasak Safer L'Shtei Tevas. He knew that the Messiah of the way a Sefer writes this parasha in the Torah is that the word Bas and the word Yana can be two separate words. In fact, it is two separate words. And from the fact that it's two separate words, he chapped that this Bas Yana is not like the Nevi'im were describing the ostrich, but over here means the daughter of the Yana. It means the egg, that the egg is going to be non-kosher. But the Gemara says, "Umi the pasaklu safra betarti tevish mamin otrei shemin sinu." Is that in and of itself a diyuk from the fact that the sefer takes bas and yana, makes it two words? Is that a raya that it's be'etzim two words? Maybe the mesira is that it's supposed to be written that way, even though really it's one word. And I'll prove it to you because elamiyata es kedar lo oimer of. Kedar lo imer parshas lech lecha feim the pasuk l'safer betray hachinami the tar kishmeinenu the mesayre is that the way the sefer writes it in the sefer Torah is he's mafsik it in two words, which by the way this is not our mesayre of Ismanenu, but this is al kapanim what the mesayre of these amiram was, that that's the way it's supposed to be written. And we know for sure it was one person, it wasn't two people, which means that just because it's divided into two doesn't mean anything. Could be there's a mesayre, this is the way it's, right, you have kriz, you have ksivs. There's Messiahs of how you write Yeshem Lemikri, Yeshem Lemessiahs, so maybe that's punk the way it's supposed to be. So again, what's the diyuk? If you find that the Ashmish could be referred to as the Bas Hayana, so maybe it just means the Bas Hayana. Elamai, because it's two words, Kedar Lohim is also two words, and it's one name, Kedar Lohimer. Amri Zak the Gemara, Hassam over there, it's different. Because there by Kedar Lohimer, Bishtei Teva is Pasaklo. It's true the Sefer writes it in two words, but Bishnei Shitam Loi Pasaklo. He would not be able to put it on two lines. Being that it's one name, it can't be on two lines. Aval Hacha by the Bas Hayana, Afilu B'Shnei Shitam Nami Pasaklu. This is something that can be written even on two lines. If it can be written on two lines, must be it's two words. Must be when the Torah said the Bas Hayana, it didn't mean the ostrich, and let's just refer to the ostrich the way Yirmiyo did in Eicha, or the way Micha did, and the way some of the other Nevi'im did. No, what we mean is the daughter of the Yana. Yana doesn't have a daughter. It lays eggs. It doesn't naturally deliver a baby. And as a result, Muzin Muzain, that the Bas over here means the egg, and that was the Makarta Chizkiya's Halacha. That is the first part of today's daf. Minayin lebeitzas tmeya shiasura menatoira shenemar ve'es bas hayana. Now, from 7.5 years ago, in the last machzor, we have a raid bite that gets in a little bit to this mekar of Chizkiya. Because the truth is, I think if you ask the man on the street, how do you know that something that comes from something non-kosher is non-kosher? So he's going to make a beeline to Becheres Davov. That would be the intelligent way to go about this sugya. The Gemara over there says that how do you know the cholov of a non-kosher animal is non-kosher? It's because it says the word gomel twice in the parsha of the simonim of a kosher animal, something that this whole week of Daf Yomi centered around. And the extra mention of gomel teaches me that not only is the gomel non-kosher, but kalayotze min atame tame. So really we have two mekayres to this idea that something that comes from something non-kosher is non-kosher. We have Chizkiya's memra in Chulin Samach Talad Amid Beis, and we have Becheres Dav Vav. Tosfos here in the sugya asks the kasha, why do I need two different makayros? Tosfos says a teretz. Interesting to note, and this was the point of the raid bite from last machzer, that the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, when he brings the ikar halacha of kol hayotzei min hatamei tamei, the Rambam brings it from Chulin Daf Samech Dalet. He brings Chizkiyas Makar. He actually does not bring the Gemara in Becheres Davav, the Kama Kulmus in Nishtabru, to explain why the Rambam thought that the Ikam Makar is Chizkiyas Memra, not the more often quoted Sugya, which is in Becheres Davav. Another thing we talked about in that Machzer is that we know that to buy milk from an Eini Yehudi, assuming you didn't see him milk the cow, is problematic, right? It's known as Cholav Akum. Cholav Sam, Cholav Companies, Vadvar Matikin. But the premise of Cholav Akim is that you can't just go and buy milk from a non-Jew, because how do you know the milk's coming from a kosher animal? Okay, maybe it's coming from a non-kosher animal. Kol Ayoitzim and Atomei Tomei. B'chayres Davov. Oh, the Rambam would send you to Chulin Dav Samech Dalet Amabez. If that's the case, why is it okay to buy eggs from a non-Jew? Why are you not concerned that the eggs maybe came from a non-kosher animal? In fact, that's Chizkiyas Memra. Minayin lebeitzas tmeya shehi asura min ha-Torah. Shenema ve'is bas hoyana. So we make such a big deal. You think about Cholav Akum, right? Kal v'chomer, you would think we should also be making such a big deal as it relates to eggs. Yet, I don't know that eggs has ever entered that realm of where it takes on a life of its own from a halachic and from a hashkafic perspective. So somehow, the chalav, we get very nervous about that maybe it came from a non-kosher animal. But when it comes to an egg, this again is all part of the raid bike from 7.5 years ago. Either way, moving along. So going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that as it relates to the simonim of a behem and a chaya, dem mefurish in the Torah. My friend says, parisa maligir. But as it relates to the oif, that already not. Aval Amru Chacham, the Mishnah said, Kol oif hadoi reis tameh, kol sheyesh loy etzba yisera, v'zefek, v'kurkevonoi niklof tahar, and then Rav Elazar Tzadik said, Kol oif hachilek es raglof tameh. So really, this part of the Mishnah was the topic of the entire week of Daf Yomi. Not the easiest week of the Daf Yomi Machzer, but it was the topic of the entire week. The Gemara now is going to really give us the postscript, because after this next Gemara we're going to learn, we're going to go from birth to grasshoppers. We're going to spring over to Chagovin. But in the meantime, one last price, which, again, really came up a lot over the last several dafim. Zok the Gemara, Tanya. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel said, Doireis va'oichel. An oif that's doireis va'oichel, but you do a shu tummy. You know for sure that it's tummy. Eshle, espi yaseira v'zefek. V'kurkavani niklav. In the event that it has that espi yaseira, or it has a crop, or the kurkavan is able to be peeled off, you know for sure that it's tahar. Meaning, if it's doyres, you know it's tame. If it has an etzbi yaseira zefek, and a kurkavan, you know it's tar. Rashi says, where's an igeya that you have to come on to the etzbi yaseira, the zefek, and kurkavan in niflak, if you don't know that it's doyres? Meaning, if you saw it be doyres, then there's no point in even having this conversation. But let's say I didn't see it being doyres. That doesn't mean it's not doyres, right? Just because you didn't see it doesn't mean it never does it. So if I'm looking for a positive simen that this is tar, the etzbi yaseira, the zefek, and the kurkavan, those are simonim ufakim that it's going to be tar. Rav Elazar Tzadik Omer, Rav Elazar Tzadik said, "Moischem loy chut shal meshichan." This is the Rav Elazar Tzadik of our Mishnah. In the Mishnah, he said, "Kol oif achelik is raglov tami." But the Mishnah is belashim tzara. The price explains it a little bit more, and that is that you take a chutzal meshicha, you take like some sort of string, and you stretch it out, and you put the bird, you have it perch itself on top of this string. Im chelik is raglov, if it divides its toes, meaning shtayim lekan v'shtayim lekan, two toes here and two toes there, tame. That's a simon that it's tame. Sholish lekan v'achas lekan. If it's not a regular yachloiku, but rather it's three quarters here and it's one quarter there, tar, that's a sign that it's going to be tame. Shimon Alaza, Imre Shimon Alaza said, kol oif hakleit mino aver tame. Any oif that snatches its prey out of the ear, that's going to be tame. Faith the Gemara. Is that true? Tziparta nami miklakalta. Tzipar does the same thing. And when you read the Gemara, it sounds like Tziparta is referring to the Tzipar of the Torah, right? Every Tzipar is Torah, Arizal's Remes. But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says Tziparta makirin hoyushi tahir vezeshma. Rashi seems like he's learning it was a specific bird that was known as a Tzipar. Other Rishonim say, no, Tziparta means, you know, many kosher birds. Miloshin the Tzipar of the Torah. But Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rashi says it was a specific bird, it was called the Tziparta, but it's also miklakalta. How can you tell me that's a sign that it's tame, the tziparta is torn? It does the same thing. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, koilet v'oichel koim rinon. When Rav Shimon Elazar said, koilet v'koilet mina avar is tame, it means that it snatches its prey out of the ear, and while it's mid-ear, it's very athletic, while it's mid-ear, it goes and it eats it. As opposed to it catches it, it comes down, and then afterwards does its thing. Achirim said, shachinim tmeim, in the event that you have a bird that lives together with Tmeim, Tamei, that means it's Tamei. Im Tahirim, if it lives with Tahirim, Tar, then already it's going to be Tar. Oyle Rasha, Oyle Shechene, right? So if you drezich with Tmeim, you're Tamei. If you drezich with Tahirim, you're Tamei. Says the Mark, man, whose Shita is Achirim going like? I think it's Karabi Elias. Tanya, learned to the Bryce. It wasn't for naught that the Zarzer had sich gegangen to the Oyrev. So the Zarzer drezich with the Oyrev. The Oyrev, we know, was one of the non-kosher birds. And being that the Zarzer hangs out with the Oyrev, it's a sign that he's one of his. Elop Neshu Minai, must be it's his min. Now, as Rabbi Eliezer seems to be the author of this idea that if you hang out with someone Tamei, well, that's a sign that you're a Tamei. Isn't that Acherim? Shachin im Tmeim Tamei im Tahirim Tara. But the Gemara says it's not Mucha, even though it's a wonderful Sushtel, but it's not Mucha, because Afilu Tamei Rabban, you could even say that Acherim is going according to the Rabbanan, Shachin v'nidma ka'amrinan. Rabbi Eliezer said that as long as you hang out with someone else, that's a sign you're from his min. And that's why the Zars in the Oyrev, even though they look very different, but if you hang out with an Oyrev, you're an Oyrev. When the Rabbanon, or when Acherim went ahead and Acherim said Shachin b'tmeim tamei, they meant Shachin v'nidma, even though they didn't say Nidma, but Acherim means Shachin v'nidma. Shachin v'nidma could be even the Chachamim amoyed to the Chachamim achelik with Rabbi Yezer when you're only a Shachin, but if you're a Shachin v'nidma, in that instance, it could be that's considered a Sheikhin Atmeim, and you are going to be Tameh. Believe it or not, this concludes the Oifis part of Perik Elu Trefis. Just to speak out one Ha'ara, it's not like a full Ha'ara, but just to speak out one Maramakim, and that is for further analysis in the Lumdus of the Sugya of Oifis. So there's actually a shtickle for Reb Chaim Halevi. In Chedush Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi al Rambam, it's in Perik Aleph of Hilchas Macholos Asuras. Reb Chaim just says one lumdus that I think opens up the sugi of Oifus a little bit. So again, one of the reasons the sugi of Oifus is challenging, it's not just because, you know, the pictures and the visualization and the hamchasha, there's a lot of good work that's been done on that. You know, Bismaneno, there's a contemporary sefer that just came out that's called Siach Oifus, which is incredible, unbelievable detail in terms of understanding, you know, some of the hamchasha, some of the mitzias, the different machlokes rishonim. But when you learn the Gemara, especially if you learn it be'ian, there's different questions in the Gersois, and there's a lot of big machlokes in rishonim, but just one klara ha'ar for Reb Chaim Halevi. And that is, Reb Chaim said that when it comes to a behema, so what are the simonim of a kosher behema? It's mafreses parsa, and it's malagair. When it comes to a fish, right, we're going to speak more about that. So it's not perfect kaskeses. When it comes to grasshoppers, that's the next gemara we're going to learn. When it comes to oifis, so kol oif adair is tame, and if it has an etzba yaseir, a zefik, and a korkavon, niklaf, then it's going to be tar. Reb Chaim said that look at the Lashon HaMishnah. The Mishnah gave four simonim of an oif tar. It's Enu Dairis, right? Because if it's Dairis, it's Tame. So if it's Enu Dairis, it's going to be Tar. It has the Etzbi Yaseira, it has the Zefek, and the Kurkuman is going to be Niklav. But the first Simon, said Reb Chaim, the way the Mishnah expressed it was called Oifa Dairis Tame. The other three, if it has an Etzbi Yaseira, a Zefek, and a Kurkuman Niklav, it's going to be Tar. Now from there we know four Simonim of Taira. It's Einoi Dairis, because if the Oif is Dairis, it's Tami. That means if it's Einoi Dairis, it's going to be Tar. So I have my Simani Tair for the Oif, like I have it by all the other animals in the animal kingdom. But Lemaisa, the Mishnah, presented it in an incongruous way. The first Simon it mentioned from the standpoint of how you would know it's Tame. The other three, how you would know it's Tar. Now, from how you know it's Tame, Michlal Tame, Atolame Tar. But Lemaisa, The first siman of Torah was at Tzirik Tzivik. Kaloifa Doris Tomei, and from there I know that if it's not Doris, it's going to be taught. But said Reb Chaim, that it's Muchach from here. That really it's Chaluk, the siman of Doris, versus the other three simanim. Kaloifa Doris Tomei is a siman of Tumah. It's not a siman of Taira. Kol sheyesh le'etzbi yisneira, v'zefek, v'kurkavone niklaf, those are simanim of Taira. So you're right, if a oif is going to be tar, you would have to establish that it's an enoi dairis. But it's not because enoi dairis is a simon of Taira. It's because when it's dairis, it's a simon of tumma. And only if it's enoi dairis could it be tar, because otherwise it's going to have a simon of tumma. But mitzad the cheftza of the simon, this three simone Taira of an oif, said Reb Chaim. And the three simone mar, etzli yaseir, zefek, v'kurkavane niklav. The Mishnah mentions four. The Mishnah mentioned there's one simon of tumma. And that simon of tumma is that if it's dairis, obviously, if it has a siman of Tumah, it can't be Tahar. I could have all the simanim of Taira. At the end of the day, it's going to be Tumah. So I need to establish that it's an Enoi Doiris in order for it to be Tahar. But not because Enoi Doiris is a Cheftza of a siman of Taira. Enoi Doiris is just a riot that it doesn't have the siman of Tumah. Now I could have my simanim of Taira to go ahead and make it Tahar. And the truth is, if you think about it, Etzba Yesera is in the guf of the oif. Zefek is in the guf of the oif. The kurkavan is in the guf of the oif, right? Is it niklav or not niklav? That's a raya of what kind of kurkavan you have. So these are all in the guf. The simon taira is going to be in the guf, just like the simonim of a behema, the simonim of a fish, and the simonim of a chagav. It's always going to be in the cheftza. Whether it's doiris or not doiris, that's his conduct, that's his hanhaga, that's the way it behaves. And fakert, in the simon taira, it only makes sense, dvarim that are beguf, etzba yaseira, zefek, kurkavanei, niklav, those are simonim in the guf of the oif, those are simonim of taira. Kol oif adoiris is not a simon of taira, it's a simon of tumah. You have to make sure you don't have the simon of tumah in order for it to be, this really opens up, it's a big Pesach in terms of understanding the sugyas. So if you want a chazer, a week's worth of daf with that idea, it's definitely a big Pesach. Reb Chaim learns it up, can move on in the Rambam. He learns that other Rishonim maybe didn't understand it this way. But either way, on that note, we turn our attention from the oifos to the grasshoppers. So just a little tiny bit of an introduction before we start the next part of the sukkah. So the Mishnah said, ubechagovin, as it relates to grasshoppers. So how do you know if a grasshopper is kosher or not? Says the Mishnah that when it comes to a chagav, kol sheyesh le arba raglayim, if it has four legs, v'arba knafayim, and four wings, v'kartzulayim, which Rashi said these are these two larger legs that allow it to jump, uknaf of chayfim nesrubak, and the wings cover the majority of the grasshopper, in those situations, it's going to be tar. So if you take a look at the psukim inside, which is going to be the background now of the rest of the daf. So in Parsha Shmini, which is where all these halachas are discussed, the latter part of the parsha, there's three psukim. Kol sheretz ha'oif, ha'hoylech al arba, sheketz ulochem. Any sheretz ha'oif that walks on all fours, so it's a sheretz, right? Self-explanatory. Oif, it flies, it's like a bird. That's also self-explanatory. If it's ha'hoylech al arba, sheketz ulochem, it's non-kosher. Stating that, achazet ha'ich. However, the following, although is technically sheretz ha'oif, and it's hoylech al arba, I feel like it's going to be okay. And that is, hoylech al arba, ashaloi kra'ayim mimala raglof. If it has kra'ayim on top of its legs, lenato behem al oretz, to assist it, to allow it to jump. In other words, we're describing the grasshopper. As eila mehem toichelo. And from within that world, the following is what you're allowed to eat. As ha'arba leminoi, ves ha'solom limineu, ves ha'chargo limineu, ves ha'chogov limineu. This is the ganze parsha in the Torah. So high level, a sheretz oif ashalei raglayim is sheketz ulochem. Torah says it twice. This is something you're not allowed to eat. Ach ezet toichlu mikol sheretz oif ha'hoylech al arba. But there is something that is okay. Ashalei kro'ayim imal raglav l'nat ben asaretz. If it has these extra legs on top of its legs, l'nat ben asaretz, to allow it to jump, and then we list four examples. As elamehem toichelu, as ha'arba l'minoi, Ves hasolam lemineo, ves hachargo lemineo, ves hachogov lemineo. Now, it's obvious that from these psukim right here, Chazal learned the four tenayim that we have in our Mishnah in order for a grasshopper to be kosher. It has to have arba raglayim, which, by the way, is pretty straightforward that it would have to have arba raglayim. If it's not a hoylech al arba, there's definitely no heter to be able to eat it. Additionally, v'arba knafayim, it has four wings. V'kartzulayim, it has those extra wings. U'knaf of chayfin as rubai. Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah, u'shmoy chagav, it also has to be called chagav. And all these different halachas are somehow extrapolated from these psukim here. One point that I think is worth mentioning before we really, really get into it, and that is, as we're going to see, Chazal had two high-level ways to interpret these psukim. One was that the way you darshan this psukim is like a klalu prat. Think about it. The pasuk says, "Achazet toichlu mikol sheretz oif ha'hoylech al arba ashalei kra'ayim mimal ragl nat memes aretz." So I'm giving you an example of what you're allowed to eat. It has to be a hoylech al arba that has kra'ayim mimal raglov. That's Linatur Bahen al Ha'aretz. And then there's a list. As Elamehem Toichelu, as Arba Laminoiv, as Hasan Laminayov, as Hargo Laminayov, as Hog Laminayov. Klal, if it's like a grasshopper, and I'm giving you specific examples of when it's going to be okay. There was another approach Chazal had, and that is this is not a Klalu Prat, but rather it's a Klal Prat to Klal. How so? Achazet Toichlu, that first Pasik, that's a Klal. As so Elamehem Toichelu, as so Arba is a Prat, but then Laminoi, is another klal. Ves hasolam is a prat. Lemineu is another klal. Ves achargal is a prat. Lemineu is another klal. Ves achogav is a prat. Lemineu is another klal. So, too high level. Again, in terms of the detail, that's the rest of the daf. But high level, you can darshan these psukim as klalu prat. You can darshan as klal prat to klal. That's a big nafkamino. Klalu prat in bechlal ela mashne beprat. Klal prat to klal in bechlal ela kein mashne beprat. So if it's a klal prat to klal, you have a more inclusive setup in terms of what might be considered a kosher grasshopper. And if it's a klalu prat, you're very limited to whatever arba leminoi means and solom lemineo means, whatever charga lemineo means. And Chag of Lemineo means, either way, this is just a very, very high-level hakdama in terms of the detail. That's something that we're going to really get into. Either way, so the Mishnah had said, U'bechagovim kol sheyeshloi, and one of the things we mentioned was, U'knof of chayfin es rubai, that the wings have to cover the majority of the grasshopper. Says my Rubai, what does Rubai mean? I'm Rav Yudam, Rav Yudam, send the name of Rav Roiv Arkoi. It means the majority of its length. Family lost some say Rav Akefai, the majority of its circumference. I'm Rav Papa said, for that reason, being a Rav Arkoi, being a Rav Hekefai. Being that we have a suffix, whether it has to be Rav Arkoi or Rav Hekefai, this is Rav Papa who throughout Shah says that if you have a suffix, let's just do both. And he says here too, Rav Arkoi and Rav Hekefai. Tan Rabban and Abraisa. Ein loy achshav asa legadol achasman. With regards to a grasshopper that doesn't have the kartzulayim, those two additional legs that allow it to jump, but it's going to have one eventually. Kegoyin hazachal. That's a good example. So it's not born with it, but at some times it develops it. Mutter d'aloch is, it's mutter, it's going to be considered kosher. I mean, it doesn't have to have it this second in order for it to be considered that it has it. Rabbi Yosi said, that how do I know that? Because it says in the Torah, asha loy kiro'ayim. Now, if you look at the pasuk, the ksiv of the pasuk is with an aleph. The kri, however, is with a vav. Leimet an aleph, leimet a vav. So the loy, you have to darshan as if it's with an aleph and it's with a vav. Meaning, ashaloy kra'ayim, if it has the kra'ayim, it's kosher. And if it doesn't have the kra'ayim, it's kosher. Which one is it? Oh, what it must mean is, afal pisha in lo yachshav. It means that if it doesn't have it now, it's going to have it. So now it's loymet an aleph, but it's going to be a loymet avav. The halach is, it's going to be okay. So truth is, there's a lot of psukim in the Torah that you find. Ashaloy chayma, loymet avav, loymet an aleph. We once spoke at some sefer nifla who says Elul is loymet an aleph and loymet avav. Aleph lamed, vav lamed, apitoisfis and Megillah, daf gimel amed beis, ayin shom. But this is one of the loymet avavs and loymet an alephs because the ksiv is with an aleph, the kri is with a vav. But the bottom line is we learn from there that even if it doesn't have it now it's with an aleph, but if it's going to have it later with a vav, it's going to be okay. My zachal, we mentioned that. What's the example of the grasshopper that fits this criteria? It's called the zachal. What is the zachal? Amar Abaya. Abaya said, askerin. It's what's known as the askerin. Tanu Rabbanan. Another price. As Elamehem Toichelu, as Ha'arba, V'chulu. Arba ze goivai. What's the arba? It's the goivai. Solom ze roshoin. Chargol ze nipoil. Chogov ze gadin. Different species of grasshoppers. Matan olay me leminoi, lemineu, lemineu, lemineu. Arba pomim. Why does it have to say it four times? Lahavi. Tzipiris kramen. The first leminoi of the arba is coming to be marba the tzipiris kramen, which is similar to the arba. The second mention of it, where it says lemineu, that's coming to be marba the yoichana Yerushalmis, the Yerushalmi grasshopper. The third one, that it says lemineu by the chargol, that's coming to be marba the hartsuvia. And the fourth one, that it says by the chag of lemineu, that's coming to be marba the vahazar voinus. Now, first glance, this seems like a very innocent braisa. What's the arba? The goivai. The solom is the roshon. The chargol is the nipal. The chagov is the gadion. What does the Torah mean when it says lemineu, 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 lemineu? Because all four of these species have something that's similar to it. The arba has the tzipiris kramen that's similar to it. And that's nisraber from lemineu. The solom has the yoichana yerushalmis that's similar to it. And that's what's nisraber from lemineu. The chargol has the artsuvya. That's what's nisraber from its lemineu. And finally, the chagov has the zarvoinas. I don't know what any of these things are, but it is coming to be marba from lemineu. That's going to be included as well. Right? Pretty straightforward. Just putting names to the faces, right? Definitions to these words. But the truth is, as we're going to see, this is a very lumdish braisa. And it takes us back to the tiny introduction that we made earlier. And that is, essentially, the Tana of this braisa is saying that the way I look at the leminoi and the three lemineus of the pasuk, they're just examples of additional grasshoppers that are being included in the grasshoppers that are kosher. It's all associated with a grasshopper that's mentioned by name. So when we're going to be marba, we're going to be marba something that's minoi, something that's similar to it, but we're just adding. So we have the arba. It's the arba, not just the arba, because it's the arba leminoi, together with the tzipiris kramen. And it's the solom with the yoichana yerushalmis. It's the chargov with the artsuvya, and it's the chagov with the zarvoinis. But here's the punchline. The punchline is that all those leminois are just additional prats. In other words, the way you tarshin this entire parsha over here is as a klal and a prat. Sounds like anything that fits that criteria can be included. That's a klal. Stating that as eila mehem toichelu. This is as prat as it gets. As eila mehem toichelu. As for arba, leminoi, two. That's only leminoi, four. V'sachar g'leminoi, six. V'sachar g'leminoi, eight. And then we go back to v'chal sheret zoi v'ashalei arba reglaim sheket zulochem. So what you have here is a klal oprat, which means the only things that would ever be kosher are literally these things. It's the goivai, it's the roshoin, it's the nipal and the gadion, the tzipiris kramim, the yoichana yerushalmis, the artsuvya, and the zarvainis, which of course meant something once upon a time. But the bottom line is, it's this and nothing else that's going to be included. The Gemara now is going to bring another braisa, a Tanit Rabbi Shmuel. And the Tanit Rabbi Shmuel is going to have the other mahalach in terms of how to understand this psukim. And the Tanit Rabbi Shmuel is not going to learn this as a klal prat, but it's going to learn it as a klal prat to klal. And the second klal are the leminoi, lemineo, lemineo, lemineo. So that the leminoi is not coming to be marba, a specific grasshopper, but it's a klal, which, by the way, allows you to be marba. In fact, it allows you to be marba more, because now anything that's going to be kein aprad is going to be nisraba. Now, just in terms of the setup, the Gemara now is going to bring a braisa. It's a longish braisa. So we'll go through the braisa, and then the Gemara is going to ask five or six ha'aras. It's going to start the end of today's daf and go in already to tomorrow's daf. But different ha'aras, basic, some of them, like jumping off the page, pun intended, but some very, very obvious ha'aras on the braisa. So we're going to have to go through this braisa, knowing, be'emuna, shlema, that the Gemara is going to address a lot of things that might bother us as we're moving along in this braisa. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they had a braisa regarding these few psukim talked away here in Parsha Shmini, elu kloli klolois, ve'elu prote protois. What does it even mean? So Rashi says, what it means is that the pasuk that says, as elu mehem toichelu, as ha'arba, the word arba is a prat. Leminoi is a klal. Vesa solom is a prat. Lemineo is a klal. Vesa chargal is a prat. Lemineo is a klal. Vesa chogav is a prat. Lemineo is a klal. Notice, this is not like a klal prat uklal. This is a klal prat uklal prat uklal prat uklal prat uklal. So you have klalis and pratis, a lot of things flying over here. And Rashi adds to that, that because there's so many klals and prats, you know there's going to be something extra. There's going to be an extra klal or prat floating around, right? That's going to need some sort of usage that we're going to have to figure out what exactly we're going to do. But Tvei Rabbi Shmuel, and only Tvei Rabbi Shmuel, can say this because Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, right? Throughout Shas, it's Rabbi Shmuel and the very Rabbi Shmuel. So the author, literally, Iyu Lahavi Parvanka of the Klal Prat to Klal, gives you an epic one-liner. Elu Klole Klolois, the Elu Prote Protois, says Tani Rabbi Shmuel. Here's the braisa. When it says Arba Ze Goivai, it's referring to the Goivai, which, by the way, in the previous braisa, what was the Arba? It was the Goivai. Pointing this out because almost nothing else when we start defining the names of all these grasshoppers are going to shtim with the previous price. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi asks all these kashas. Some of it the Gemara is even going to ask. But either way, Arba Ze Goivai, Leminoi, when it says Leminoi, Lahavitzi Pyrus Krum. It's coming to be Marba, the Tzipyrus Krumim. And how you being Marba, the Tzipyrus Krumim? Because the Tzipyrus Krumim is similar to the Goivai, which, by the way, that also stems with the previous price, right? The Tzipyrus Krumim was the Leminoi, and it's going to be included. Now, the way it's being included, however, is not that Leminoi means the Tzipyrus Krumim. The way it's being included is, I have a klal prat to klal, so I can be marba anything that's ke'en prat. What's the prat? It's the arba. So anything that's ke'en the arba is going to be included. The Tzipyrus Krumim is ke'en the arba, and that's for that reason it's going to be included. Now, in liyelo, above in ligabachas, based on this klal upratu klal, I would think that the only thing I could be marba is something that is a grasshopper, but it's ein legabachas. So a gabachas means it's bald, right? It doesn't have any hair. So a grasshopper, you know, doesn't have a full head of hair, but the grasshopper has these things that are popping out that are quote unquote hair. And if it doesn't have it, we refer to it as gabachas. Now, the arba and the tzipyrus krumim had no gabachas, which is another way of saying it has here, right? It's not a gabachas. So I would think based on the klal prat to klal, you could only be marba something that's ke'ena prat, which means it's not a gabachas. Habavi ish la gabachas. What would be if you have a grasshopper that isn't a gabachas? Minayin, based on the klal prat to klal, I wouldn't be able to be marbit. Talmud loymar, that's why it had to say solam. The solam is a grasshopper that is a gabachas. Which one is it? It's ze nipol. It's the nipol, and that's going to be included. Limineo. When it says limineo, it's lahavi es ushkaf. That's a klal pratu klal for the solam. Meaning, I want another klal on the other side of the solam, so I shouldn't only be marba the solam, but I should also be marba things that are like the solam. So just like I have a ke'ena prat for the arba, I also have a ke'ena prat for the solam. But the bottom line is, the reason the Torah had to mention solam, even though I have a klal prat to klal already for the arba, what's the reason for that? The reason for that is because if all I had was the klal prat to klal from the arba, I would think it has to be an ele gabachas. How do I know it's a gabachas? So that's over here, the kamash one. Now notice, by the way, that how did this braisa define the solam? We defined it as the nipoil. If you go back to the previous braisa, the solam was the roshain, it was the chargol that was the nipoil. Additionally, what was the limineo here? Lahavi es ha'ushkof. We didn't even have ushkof in the previous braisa. What was the limineo of the solam earlier? It was the yoichanah Yerushalmus, right? It's hard to forget. But the bottom line is, Rashi asks these kashas. The Gemara is going to ask some of it. Rashi addresses the rest. But either way, ve'in liyelo, habo ve'in ligabachas. But even after it says arba and it says solam, so I would know that if it's in ligabachas, it's included from arba. And habo ve'yesh ligabachas, I would know if it's a gabachas, it's also included from solam. And not just them, but anything that's similar to them. Habo ve'in loizana, but I would think it's only true if it doesn't have a tail. Habo ve'yesh loizana minayin. How do I know if it has a tail? Because the arba and the solam, even though they're different in terms of gabachas or not gabachas, but hatzad ha'shnova shebehen is, they're in loizana. How would I know something that has a zanav? Talmud loymar, the pasuk says, chargo. And what's the chargol roshoin, which was the solom in the previous brisa, right? In the previous brisa, the chargol was the nipol, but either way, chargol's a roshoin, and that's coming to teach me that even if it has a zonov, it could still be included. Limineo. Why does it say limineo? Because I want a klal pratu klal for the chargol as well. I want to be marbe ke'in the chargol. What's ke'in the chargol? Habi es ha-karsefes. That's Hashachlonis, and that's what's going to be in this rabbit. Ainly Zokta Brisa Viter, Ella Habove in Legabachas, Habove Yeshle Gabachas. Right? Habove in Legabachas, that's the Arba. Habove Yeshle Gabachas That's the Solom. By the way, we're going to see soon that the Chargal also is a Gabachas. In case you were wondering, we know it has a Zonim. But it's a Gabachas, not a Gabachas. It's actually very important in the Cheshbon of the Gemara. It has a Gabachas. Additionally, we know Habavi Ein Loi Zonov. Who's that? That's the Arba and the Solom. Habavi Yesh Loi Zonov. That's the Chargal. Habavi Ein Roshei Aruch. We also know that if the grasshopper is Ein Roshei Aruch, it doesn't have a tall head, so it's going to be included. And the reason is because the Arba, the Solom, and the Chargo all are in Rosh Hayaruch. Above Rosh Hayaruch, Minayin. How do I know if it's Rosh Hayaruch? Right, so I figured out Gabachas, Yagabachas, Zonov, Nishkain Zonov. But they all have in common that they're in Rosh Hayaruch. How do I know to be Marbo that if it's Rosh Hayaruch, it could still be kosher? Amrit, Hareat, Tadam, Bebinyan, Am Ishlashim. I can learn it from Bebinyan Av. Leiroi, Arbe, Karoi, Chargo. We mentioned they're all unique. Hatzad Ashnova Shabahen, Shneyesh Loi Arba Raglayim, Va'arba Knofayim, Vikartzulayim, Uknof of Chayfin Esrubay. Av Kol, Shneyesh Loi Arba Raglayim, Va'arba Knofayim, Vikartzulayim, Uknof of Chayfin Esrubay. So, based on Hatzad Ashnova, I learn it. Now, the Kasha that jumps off the page is going to be a big part of the Gemara's analysis of this brisa is, what do you mean? Malat tzad ashova shabahen, shekein ein roishan aruch. How do you know if it's roishan aruch? That's not a tzad ashova. Tzad ashova is where I'm debating whether this should be a factor. So I have one place where the Torah mentioned the halacha, and it has that two, so I know that that's not a reason for it to be excluded. But here, all three grasshoppers that were mentioned up until this point are in Rosh Hanarach. So, Malat Tzad Ashova Shabahem Shekein in Rosh Hanarach. You almost can't even read it. Either way, continuing along in the Braisa, Valdei Tzartzor Azeh, says the Braisa. What about the Tzartzor? Another one of these grasshoppers. Yesh Mlei Arba Raglayim, V'Arba Knofayim, V'Kartzulayim, U'Knof of Chayfin Esrubay, Yochliyim Mutter. If I would have thought it's Mutter, Talmud Loimer Chagav Sheshmei Chagav. It has to have the name Chagav, and that's why we mentioned that last grasshopper, the Chagav, to tell me that there's a criteria, and that Chagav is actually Memait, it's not Marba, and it says that even if I have all the aforementioned, but if you're not called Chagav, like the Tzartzer, you're out. Ishmoy Chagav, another very hard part of the Braisa to read, where the question jumps off the page. If Shmoy is Chagav, Yochel Ein by Kasiman Ma'ladu, maybe all you need is to be Chagav. What do you mean all you need is to be Chagav? You have a Klal Prat to Klal, you have to be Ke'ina Prat. If the Ke'ina Prats are all that it has these four criteria, make a taste. If I only am a chagav, where do you see a chagav that alone would be enough? That's going to be the Gemara's kash as well. Talmud Loimer says lemineu actually hey, but kol asimanim alolo. Lemineu tells you that no, absolutely not. It has to have all the siman. The bottom line is this is the second brisa that gets into the weeds of how we define these different grasshoppers. And as we mentioned, high level, this Bryce is learning not klal uprat, not a klal and eight pratim, but rather this is four klal prats or klals, clearly very wordy, and the Gemara now is going to do what it does, says the Gemara. First kasha, so again, let's set this up a little bit better. The way the Tanit Rabbi Shmuel learned the parasha was, as achazet toichlu mikol sheretz oif ahoylech al arba, shaloi kraim imali raglav not ben al oretz, that's a klal. So technically, if you check off the fact that you're hoylech al arba and you have those kartzulayim, based on that, you would be okay. Esel mehem toichelu, and then we got involved in a prat. Esho arba. But then we said, lamina. Klal, prat, uklal. Iatadon eleke ina prat. I would be marba anyone that checks off the basic boxes of what an arba is. But additionally, I would think it has to be an ein legabachas. How do I know if it's a gabachas? The Torah goes vayt. The Torah says, I'm going to tell you another prat. The solom is a gabachas. He's also included. And not just him, anything that's ke'en the solom. What about an animal that has a zonov? They too don't have zonovs. So I don't know if it has a zonov. That's a chargol lemineo. It says, that's a chargol. And based on chargol, I would know. So Arba teaches me if it's not a gabachas. Solom teaches me if it is a gabachas. A chargol teaches me if it has a zonov. Now, here the Braisa interjected, not based on the Etzim Pasik, and that is, what if it's Roshay Aruch? Because right, all these things are in Roshay Aruch. So what about if it's Roshay Aruch? Oh, I have a cloud, I have a Tzad Ashova. Between Arbas, Solom, and Chargo, they're all, what? They have all these simonim, and I don't care if it's gabachas, not gabachas, zonov, not zonov. So why should I care if it's Rosh Yarech, and Rosh Yarech, and therefore I'm going to be married, but even something that's Rosh Yarech. And then finally, from the fact that it says achogel demineu, that's actually memait, that's not married, and it tells me it has to be mishashmai chogel. So the first kasha the Gemara is going to ask is, Baruch Rabachoy, going back to the Tzad HaShavu, which again was more the Teresh of Alper, the Braisa, because that is not learning up the pasuk. For now. But going to the Teresh of Alper, then once I know Arba, Solom, and Chargo, I can make a Tzad HaShav and I can be Marba, even Rosh Hanaruch. Frank, the Rabbi Choy, Ma'ala Hanoch Shekein Ein Rosh Hanaruch. What do you mean? The three that you're trying to make the Tzad HaShav from are all Ein Rosh Hanaruch. So how in the world could you be Marba something that's Rosh Hanaruch? V'chi temezok Rabbi Choy. Keep it the Shavu Bar Basimon. My sin of Olei Parchinon. Maybe you'll tell me, at the end of the day, Ke'ena Prat means it has to be Ke'ena Prat, right? It doesn't have to be Mamish, the same thing. So once I see that I have three Pratim, and all three Pratim have in common these four Simonim, so anything that has these four Simonim, even if it's Rosh Arch, not Rosh Arch, it's going to be Nisrab. Right? Again, the criteria of a Klal Prat to Klal is Ke'ena Prat. So why would this not be enough for it to be Ke'ena Prat? But the Gemara says, Yehochi Ebazoi Chargol Nami, the Shavi Lahu, Loi Lichtov, V'teisame Arba V'Solom. Why did the Torah then have to mention the Chargol? Why do we mention the Chargol? Because I would have thought, maybe only if it has no Zonov. But if it has a Zonov, not. Why would you think that there's Nafkimin and the Zonov? They have these four things in common. I have a double Klal Prat to Klal already. Yeh Gabachas, Nish Gabachas. So I need Chargol. The Teretz is, you have to say, Ikel Mifroch, Ma'la Hanach Shken Ein Lem Zonov. Nu Hachanam, Ikel Mifroch, Ma'la Hanach Shken Ein Roish Anaruch. Meaning, just like the Torah had to tell me chargo, because otherwise I could have made a shtickle Torah and I could have said maybe there is enough gemin if it has a zonov or it doesn't have a zonov. So for the same price, maybe you can go ahead and you can tell me that there's enough gemin if it's Rosh Yarech and not Rosh Yarech. Where in the world do I have this klal prat to klal that's going to tell me from three things that are in Rosh Yarech that I could be married with something that's Rosh Yarech? Elam Rabachoy. So Rabachoy made a whole revolution. He completely edited, a super edit, the Braisa. Said Rabbi Chai, Solom Yisairu. You have to say that that part of the Braisa is actually learning up the Psukim. It's not Teresh Shalom Peh. It's actually learning up the Psukim. It's because the word Solom is extra. You know why? Because Loit Lichtav Rachman of Solom, Torah didn't have to mention Solom. Solom was the second one, right? You didn't have to mention the Solom. You could have learned it from a Tzad HaShav in the Arba and the Chargo. Meaning, mention the Arba and mention the Chargo. Now remember, what was unique about the Arba? The Arba is Ein Loi Gabachas. It has here. What's unique about the Solom? The Solom was Yesh Loi Gabachas. They both didn't have a Zonov. What was unique about the Chargol? The Chargol has a zon, but we mentioned the Chargol also is a Gabachas. Right? So let it say Arba, which for our purposes is Ein Loi Gabachas and Ein Loi Zonov, and let it say Chargol, which is Yesh Loi Gabachas V'Yesh Loi Zonov. And if you tell me those two, I'll know already the Solom. You know why? Because the my parchas. So what are you going to ask regarding the Solom? Mala arba the ain like gabachas. You're going to tell me I can't learn it straight up from the arba. The arba is ain like gabachas. The Solom is the gabachas. That's why lechatchil in the price in real time we said that you had to mention the Solom. But hare chargo the yesh like gabachas. The chargo has a gabachas. You tell me mala chargo the yesh loy zonov as opposed to the Solom doesn't have a zonov. Hare arba the ain loy zonov. And if that's the case, said Rabbi Choy, you want to know what the time of the price was saying? He was saying moiridik. Solom, the cause of Rachman Olam Ali. Why did Torah have to write the Solom? You know what the answer is? In Einoy Inyan Lagufay, not to teach me the Solom. Because the Solom I can know from Yud Gemar Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes Pem. I can know that from the Tzad HaShav. But in Einoy Inyan Lagufay, I don't need it to teach me the Solom, because the Solom itself I can know. Tneyu Inyan to something else. And you want to know what the something else is? It's L'Roishe Aruch. It's to teach me the Roishe Aruch. The bottom line is, Rabbi Choy makes the first critical addendum to this price, and that is that when we learned the price in real time, how did we know to be Marba Roish Yarech? We knew it from a Tzad HaShava between the Arba, the Solom, and the Chargol. But after further review, that is an incorrect statement. You know, you Marba the Roish Yarech, I know it directly from the Solom. I would never be able to learn it out from a Tzad HaShava, because Mala Tzad HaShava Shekein Ein Roish Yarech. And don't tell me Roish Yarech Ein Roish Yarech Her, because then I'll tell you Zonav Ein Zonav Her. And if the Torah needed to tell me Chargol to know the chilik between Yesh Loi Zonav Ein Loi Zonav, well then the Torah should have to tell me something to know the chilik between Roish Yarech and Ein Roish Yarech. The Torah, since I know Roish Yarech from the Solom, not from the Mahatzad. In fact, you want to know what I know from the Mahatzad? I know the Solom from the Mahatzad. So then why did Torah tell me Solom if I know it from the Mahatzad? And Eino Inyan L'Solom, Tenayuinian to a situation where it's Rosh Yach. So again, we have these two approaches right now in terms of how to go through this parsha. Just mamash learn the parsha Chimish Rashidik, learn the parsha Mavasedra, right? Either it's a klal and prat, klal with eight pratim, or it's a klal protocol, a super eight klal protocol. Says the Gemara, practically speaking, but my komifligi, Tana Devei Rav, V'Tana Rebbe Shmuel. What's the machlokes in the two brises? Now, the second brise is called Tana Rebbe Shmuel, because it said, right, Tana Rebbe Shmuel. How do you know the first brise is Tana Devei Rav? And what does that even mean, Tana Devei Rav? So Rashi says that we're referring to the first brise as Tana Devei Rav. It's a Teres Kainim, and Stam Teres Kainim is referred to as Sifra Devei Rav. And Rashi says it is because it was, these brises were prevalent in all the Bati Midrash, and everyone knew this. Like today, you know Rashi, then you knew the Teres Kainim, which, by the way, very often is Rashi. But this was something that was permeated all the Bati Midrash, and that's why it was referred to by as a Stam Tana Devei Rav. But the bottom line is, what is the practical nafkamina? I know this is a klal uprat, and this is a klal pratakal. Lemaisa, what's the nafkamina? You want to know what the lemaisa nafkamina is? It's that roisha aruch, that's where the nafkamina is. Tana Devei Rav sava, the Tana Devei Rav holds, let's see it inside. Ashaloi krayim klal, arbis solom chargol chogov, limineyu, etc., etc., prat. Klal uprat, this is everything that we spoke out already, should not come as news. Ain't bechlala lemasha beprat. Dimine in the lab mine loy. Marbi the domile mishneit stodim. And it's marbi things that are completely similar to the prat. Right? Similar, because Kaina Prat. But I'm sorry, it has to be 100% the Prat, because the Klalu Prat, it has to be Domile Shneit Stodim, has to be one. That's just a way of saying it has to be 100% similar. So therefore, being that all the Pratim are Ein Roshan Aruch, so it's only these Pratim, as opposed to anything else. Tony Rabbi Shmuel, so Tony Rabbi Shmuel holds, Ashaloi Kraim Klal, Arbis Solom Chargol Chogav Prat, Limineu, and not just the one Limineu, the one Liminoi and the three Limineus are Chazav Kalal, Klal Prat, the Klal, Yat, I don't need to be doime mamish b'shneid stodim, but b'chatzah that's going to be enough because it's not ein b'chlal ala mashe b'prat, but it's ein b'chlal elokei mashe b'prat. And if that's the case, we're going to be marba. And if that's the case, we're going to marba anything that's similar. And what's similar? What's similar is we're going to be marba even something that's Roshayarch. So what's the nafkamina between the first price and the second price? So here the Gemara speaks out what we spoke out already five times. The first price of the Tamid Ve'rav, we put a name to the face, is Klal Uprat, Ein B'Klal Ela Mashne V'Prat, and the Lashon of this Gemara is to be Doim L'Shneit Stodim. Therefore, it's only what's Mefurish. Tamid Rabbi Shmuel, it's a Klal Prat, it only has to be Doim B'Chad Sad, you can be Marbe even more. What's going to be the nafkamina? Nafkamina is going to be one thing. The nafkamina is going to be Nafkamina is going to be in the event that it's Rosh Hashanah. According to Tanit Be'Rav, it's not going to be included. According to Tanit Rabbi Shmuel, it's going to be included. Why? Why? Because according to Tanit Be'Rav, it's Ein B'Chlal Ela Mashe B'Prat. And according to Tanit Rabbi Shmuel, it's Ein B'Chlal Ela Kei Mashe B'Prat. I just want to speak out two ha'aretz, just negei a posh pshat in the Gemara. The first is, so poshet, if you do the sikum on this Gemara, you would say, oh, this machloik is Tanit Rav, Tanit Rabbi Shmuel. The nafkamina in the machloikis is Rosh Hayaruch or not Rosh Hayaruch. Why is there this machloikis? Because Tanav Rav holds Ein B'chlal Ela Mashe B'Prat, it's a klal prat. Tanav Rav Shmuel holds it's a klal prat to klal. Ein B'chlal Ela Kei Mashe B'Prat, so naturally, can move on. It's going to be more inclusive, right? Very, very straightforward. Oh, if it's more inclusive, you're being marba more. What are you being marba more? You're going to be marba even Rosh Hayaruch. But just notice, in the cheshbon of the Gemara, it's a little misleading what we just said. Because the way we were marba the Rosh Hayaruch from the klal prat to klal was really, the way we were marba the Rosh Hayaruch was not from the klal prat to klal. How we marba the Rosh Hayaruch? Because we argue that the Torah didn't have to say Salam. And from the fact that the Torah said Salam, im einoy inyan l'salam, t'neyu inyan l'Rosh Hayaruch. So we weren't marba from the klal prat to klal, right? Let's just meditate on that for a second. We're saying, oh, the nafkamina between the two brises is Rosh Hayaruch. Why is it a nafkamina? Is it a klal uprat or is it a klal prat to klal? Oh, klal uprat is nothing to be marba. If it's a klal prat to klal, well, then there's a lot to be marba. Poshet, it sounds like, but 100% wrong. It sounds like, oh, the cloud brought the cloud. No, the Gemara addressed that. That was Park Rabbah Chai. He said there was no way to do that. So how do I know Rosh Yarech? I know because Solom is extra. But here's the point. If it's a cloud prat, then Solom was never extra. Because every prat was needed. Because ain't b'chlal, ala ma'at never prat. If, however, you can darshan the parish as a cloud prat to cloud, then Solom is extra. Because I could have learned Solom from a mahatzad between the arba and the chargal, using the ain b'chlal, ala ke ma'at never prat. Why did the Torah tell me Solom? It ain't no union today, you union. So you're right. At the end of the day, the nafkamina is Rosh Yarech, and the Rosh Yarech emanates from the fact that it's a cloud prat to cloud, but it's not a direct hit. It's cliche-y. Because I have a cloud prat to cloud, Solom is extra. Once Solom is extra, can host learning. Now, it ain't no union today, you union. That's how I'm going to learn Rosh Yarech. Just posh a pshat in the Gemara. Very miss. It's a tricky Gemara. And this is, I think, a main reason why this Gemara is a little tricky. That's the first thing that needs to be spoken out. Second thing needs to be spoken out is Mefurish Taisis. Taisis Dibra Maska with Micah Mifli. Taisis says, the Gemara says, but Micah Mifli, Yitanid Vei Rav, Tanid Rabbi Shmuel, but Rosh Yarech Kemifli, wait a minute, it's a huge machlekes. According to Tanid Vei Rav, it's Ein Bechlal Ela Masha Beprat. Zehu, nothing else. According to Tanid Rabbi Shmuel, Ein Bechlal Ela Kei Masha Beprat. I can't imagine there's nothing to be marba. Just to speak out this second aura a little better after hearing the first aura. Right? When we just said, is that even Rosh Yarech, we're not marba from the klal prat to klal. We're marba Rosh Yarech from the fact that the Torah mentioned Solom, which it didn't have to mention, meaning that you could darish in the parish of the klal prat to klal. But halacha l'maisa, it sounds like from this going, not even marba anything from the klal prat to klal. Right? What do you mean marba from the klal? From the l'maisa to the klal prat to klal. You're not even marba anything. Rosh Yarech, I know that from Solom. So what are you being marba? It sounds like you're not even marba anything. It can't be, says Tais. There's no nafkamina. Again, this is the Hoysafa. But there's no nafkamina between cloud prat to cloud, but my komiflagi beroy shay arach, we're just making the kasha a little geschmacker. Because even roy shay arach is not from the cloud prat to cloud. There has to be something that's an nafkamina if it's ein b'chlal ala masha b'prat or ein b'chlal ala kei masha b'prat. I can't believe there's no nafkamina. So Tais struggles with this kasha. Tais in the second tarot says, could be, achi kimlu de chazal. There was no other nafkamina. The only nafkamina was the roy shay arach. Whether you darsh in a cloud prat to cloud, really, in Lamaisa doesn't even have any nafkamina. Even Rosh Yarech is only because you didn't have to mention the Solom. And a main inyan Solom, Tneyu inyan le Rosh Yarech. And the only reason you didn't have to mention the Solom is because you darshan the b'chlal prat to. So it's like all in that havamina world. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, that's what's going on. Afraid the Gemara Akash. Akash on Tani Rabbi Shmuel. How could Tani Rabbi Shmuel make a cloud prat to cloud over here? The cloud kam and the cloud bas are not the same. Why? Klal kam ashalay krayim am rachmana. This lay achol blasay loy techol. Right, the first cloud is a very inclusive cloud. It sounds like ashalay krayim, right? As long as it has krayim, you'd be allowed to eat it. And klal basra ad shavu bar basim onim. It sounds like it has to be lemineu. It's a freak the Gemara. Shouldn't the two klals in a klal prat to klal have to be similar? And they're not similar. The first klal is very inclusive. Ashalei krayim be marba everything. Lemineu sounds like it has to be similar to the arba, similar to the Solom, to the Char. It has to be somewhat similar. So, Freit the Gemara, is that okay? And for the Gemara, Tanid Rabbi Shmuel, v'chol yiprati ki'ay gavne don. The shita of Tanid Rabbi Shmuel is that in a situation like this, you could darshan. And oh, by the way, udamirna nami ba'alma, the don, Tanid Rabbi Shmuel, v'chol yiprati ki'ay gavne. You saw throughout Shas, when the Gemara says, Tanid Rabbi Shmuel, you said darshan, klal prat to klal, even if the two klals are not similar, mehacha, dosi de mekar. You want to know where it comes from? It comes from this Gemara right here. Rashi speaks out, very geschmack, that it could be the reason Tana Devei Rav didn't learn like Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. And the reason Tana Devei Rav learned the whole parish as a klal uprat and not as a klal prat to klal was because of this kasha. It's only Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel that she tossed it that was able to learn the sugya as a klal prat to klal. Because they hold throughout Shas, Ba'alma, that klolim don't have to be similar to each other. But Tanid Ve'Rav didn't hold that way. It was a chiddish in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, and because they didn't learn this way, it's for that reason that they held that all you have is a klal uprat, l'may nafkemina, Rosh Yarech. Right, Tyson, only Rosh Yarech. We're going with the simplest teretz in Tyson. That's, yeah, believe it or not, there is no nafkemina other than the Rosh Yarech. A well-deserved exhale. So as it relates to raid, just want to say over a maramokim nifla that Nachi Weinstein showed me. This has his signature written all over it. And it's from a sefer called Stei Yitzchak on Masechtas Chulin, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. But I think it's kedai to give a little bit of a wordy introduction to who exactly the author of the sefer Stei Yitzchak was. So the Stei Yitzchak was written by a Yid whose name was Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta. Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta was born in Libya, and when he was in his 20s, he moved to Italy, and he spent the rest of his life, 50 plus years, in Italy. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta was obviously a big Talmud Chacham. He was Mechabes Sfarim. He was also a very, very wealthy person. And in the introduction to the most recent edition of Stei Yitzchak al Hashas, which was printed by Avat Shalom in the year Tovshin Samach Aleph, there's a very, very long psicha, told us of the Mechaber, and talks a little bit about who this Yid, Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta, was. Incidentally, the first part of the introduction was written by Hagoyin Hagadol, Rabbi Yaakov Hillel Shlita. But either way, in the told us of the Mechaber, they tell a story, and this story is the background in terms of how exactly Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta became the phenomenal gevir that he was. Now, as it relates to the background of the story, so there's a footnote here. If you have the sefer, it's page 13 in the Toldos HaMechaber. I'm reading from footnote 11. Ma'isa Zeh, the story that we're about to tell, Nisparsim Harbi B'dayre, was very famous. This was a well-known story during the lifetime of the Mechaber. Kimeduma Sheharishan Shehitves Es HaMaisa Shalofanenu, the first person to tell the story, who Rav Shushan HaKoyen, B'sifroi Pilei HaTzadikim, HaNitves B'Tunis, that's in Tunisia, B'Shnas Tofresh Pei Beis. V'Shuv, it was printed again in Jarba, B'Shnas Tofresh Tzadik, V'Zeu Mashahiktim L'Sipur, they tell over there, Sipur Niflo Me'arav HaGoyen Rav Yitzchak Guetta, Rav HaMechaber Seifus De Yitzchak Al-Hashas. It's referring to this incredible story. Sipur Zeh, the one that we're going to read now, Hutak L'Shoyne B'Sefer Yalkut Yosef, this is coming from the Sefer Yalkut Yosef, or Rav Yosef Chaim Yaluz. And this sefer was printed in Yerushalayim in Tofresh Tzadik Dalet, that's 1934, Amud 70 Veilach. Either way, this is an exact excerpt of the story. So the background to it is Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta is a Yelid, Libya. He's now 20 years old. He moves to Italy to make a parnasa. And he got a job working as a shamish, working as a butler, as an executive assistant for some incredibly wealthy Italian Jew. This is in Livorno, Italy. Somebody extremely, extremely wealthy. Now, it seems that this Gvir was a very big Baltstocker. Not only was a big Baltstocker, but he had a soft spot for the Yidden and the Yishuvs that were living in Eretz Yisrael. And as a result, if somebody came from Eretz Yisrael, the Shadars, by the way, just to frame this, he was born in the year 1777. So this is late 1700s, early 1800s. So when a Shadar would come from Eretz Yisrael to Italy, he was the Machnas Erech, he would stay by him. You know, that was a good spot. He would give him big nedavos, and he took very, very good care of him. Either way, the Baal HaMaisa tells the story, it's a little interesting, that this Gevir used to like to chat a little bit with Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta. Sounds like he was doing it in jest. You know, I think in 2026, we'd say this is a little on the spectrum of the way you're not supposed to treat somebody. But this is the way he used to deal with him, and he would chapter him a little bit. I'm going to read the next one. Pamachas boshliach koil echad shadar, rav godol tzadik v'kodesh le'ir ha'gvir ha'niskar. So there was this big shadar, this person, he comes and he's staying in Lavarna, and he stayed by this gvir, this machnas erech, by whom Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta used to live. And this gvir took care of him the way he always took care of these chaver. He took care of everything that he needed. When it was time for this Rav HaKoilo, this Shadar, to leave town, Ratzah HaGvir L'Shashay HaNefesh HaRav U'Laharchi L'Vavay. So the Gvir wanted this person to, you know, feel good. He wanted him to get a good laugh.
Vayomel Ashadar, so he tells the Shadar,
don't try this at home. Likre Gamel
Hanar Hanisker, Levakshmen Unadov. You know, I have this butler, he works for me. Why don't you call him? And you know, you're here raising money for a very important cause. Why don't you call him in and why don't you ask him for an adava?
Kashakoy also call Akilo Kedosha. I mean, everyone in town gave you money. There's no reason he shouldn't give you. Lirois, let's see Mabapiv Umatia Chuvasi. Let's see how he's going to respond. Hanar Bolifneim. The child comes in front of them. Achrei Ha'oichel, after he finishes eating, Vayom Elav Agvir. And the Gvir, that's this kid's boss, tells him, Hine Arava Koilu, Noisei Ladarkoi, he's going back home. Vikpar Osavle, Vikivet, his Kola Tzorchle, he already accumulated all the money he needs. For Aknishaloi Dover Echavahu Nidvascha. The only thing he's missing, he has everything. He just needs your Nidvascha. Ubechein Al Nota Acheres Arav, don't cause him any delay. Vitainloi Nidvah Hagunol in Soil Ladarkoi. And you should give him an appropriate Nidvah, give him what it is he needs. Vayiftach Gvir, Sapinkis, Ashal Arava Koilu, sounds like Hippo. But then the Gvir goes and he opens up the pinkus that the Rav HaKoyel had. V'yikare lefon of his kol shemayis ha'gvirim v'habeninim v'esaskumim ashenosnu k'chol ashenpasku aleim. He starts telling him, Cham Yankel gave this, he gave tzeimulchai, you know, he starts throwing out all the big numbers. V'esasacha otzum ashenshilim ha'gvir b'yeses eis v'yes ozum al-kol anadivin. And then of course he comes to the end, you know, he mentions his grois ha'gvir achren achren chovim and his big nadova that he gave. V'koy omar el. So he turns to this kid and he tells him, Lama zetia garua mikulam. The filthy taste nidvas harav. Sounds like everyone's giving all this money and you're not giving anything. Ubefrat kiat ata hinu meukim lolechas adarku babmur nidvas. And you really can't leave unless he has your nidava. V'chein lo yayase, it's inappropriate. Go ahead and give him something. Hanar kishamai, when the nar heard this, rotzmim kaimai, he ran. V'kal chishu mehera shavlefneim. And he went his pouch where he used to keep his few dollars that he had. He had a few dollars, like a few extra coins, and he comes and he brings it. And he started counting all of them, not much in front of the Gvir and in front of this Rav HaKoilu. And it all added up to one golden coin. The child said, "Hine harikoisi es kol kisi lefnechem, kashner einechem techazeno. V'hine heima oilam lesach zov echad. Them koy yirtze v'yaskim a rabba koylo levarichos." And he said, "If you're willing to give me a bracha, v'lokachte nedavazum miyadi azov alozeh, hine nimezum limser oisa biyadi b'li kol herf. I'll give it to you, but I want a bracha from you." V'yischaku olav agvir v'rabba koylo mi didaber mitoy. They started laughing again. Either way, after spending a little bit of time to him, Romas Hagvila Rav Shadar. See, the Shadar, this Rav Koy was very uncomfortable, and you could see he didn't want to take the money. But he told him, "He's not from you the money. Take the money." The Rav Koy says, "What should I do? This Gvir, he gives me everything. Gotta go along with it, right?" So he goes along with it. He was chayn of him, and he says, "No problem." And he give anar kal chish hurek his kol kisa. And just picture it. He takes his little thingy. Or I don't want to say piggy bank, but he takes his, you know, especially not when you're learning Eilu Treifus. And he takes it and he empties it all out into his hand. And as he pours it down, then he bends his head down. And he says he's ready for a bracha. Harav, this Rav HaKoyel, Karoisa Ishtam, the Yosher, Mitzap, Yochel, the Daimel, Berchasai. When he saw the tmimus of this child and how badly he wanted the bracha, Vichy Hisher es Atzmei Mamish Kikli Reik Bavur HaBracha. And he literally, he depleted all his accounts for this bracha. Pireish Eshtei Yodav Al Roishnei. He spread out his two hands on his head. Umiroi Ve'es Rakshus Asha Hoyoloi Oz. Zogu Ein of Demois. He started to cry. Vayivorcheu Vayoymar Yisimcha Elikim B'mayla V'chshiv. So I give you a bracha that should make you like the grass, the gvirim. V'tikvasi, and my hope is, ki l'shana haba, b'voy harav ha-shadar oitpam, when I come back to Lavarna, yikabu m'mcha nudava shava b'shava, u'mis'ames im nidvas gvircha anoichachi. That you're going to give me the same exact nudava. Maisa, he made sure he locked into the Meiser and the Chaymish, but he says, I'm giving you a bracha. You should be a big man. You're going to give me the same exact nudava that your master gave you. Right, he took his hand and he kissed it. Right, and he went on his way. And this is an interesting postscript to this. After the Gvir leaves, or after the Shadar leaves, Shila Magvir Lenarius Kola Shahitzi Mikise Badze, the Gvir went and he said, by the way, this was all a prank. This was all a joke. And he gave him back all the coins and he gave him back the Zob, Ayisa Rav Ledarkoi, Lechayim Ulashalom. Bashana Ahimamish. During that year, one day, this kid is walking by the Chayf. He's walking by the port of Livarna. And he sees that there's a big tumult. There's some big shipment just came. And all the tradesmen are there, all the buyers, all the sellers. And there's like a very, very big bahal. And he sees they're taking these big containers off the ships. People are bidding on it. People want to buy it. Anyways, this child, this innocent child, is walking by. And he looks and he was like very taken aback at a certain container that came with a whole bunch of boxes. And just spacing out, just amazed at what was going on, he started pointing at that box. Well, it seems that in Livarna at that time, the way it worked was that if there was a bidding process going on, you know, when they're selling aliyahs and you don't want to buy aliyah, like, you know, you put your head under the talis because in the wrong shul, you might end up with maftayonah, something that you weren't looking to buy. So this person is pointing at this container, and it seems that if you pointed at something, that qualifies as a bid. Turns out, unbeknownst to this kid, he just bid on this massive container that just came. Now, you're going to ask, who would ever sell it to him? Because it turns out the sellers there knew who he was. They knew he worked for this crazy gvir, the biggest gvir in town. So they assumed that this gvir must have bid on it. Anyways, this kid has no idea what he just did. He turns around, goes back home, and, you know, to his somewhat abusive existence, right? A couple hours later, the gvir walks outside, and all of a sudden, vayisa ene vayar, vihine harba agolois, and boys noichach besoi, vehima amusois baharbe tevois agulois gedoilis. He sees all this huge shipment. He's got these suburbans are coming in his direction, trying to figure out what's going on over here. Like, he turns around, does anyone know what this is all about? So first he thinks it's the wrong address, there must be some mistaken identity, until finally he finds out that his shikingle, this kid, just took Nakama without him knowing. And he basically just took down this huge... Now, he tried getting at it, but he couldn't do it. Because believe it or not, based on the Din of the Malchusa, done. He was stuck with it. He was not happy about it. But he said, okay, it is what it is. Okay, I'm going to pick it up inside again. Kavur Eza Shois, a couple hours pass. He said, you know, I wonder what's in here. Like, what we bought a Sroigim? Like, what we buying? He had no idea what he even is. So, like, what is here? Right? He's already, he calls all his guys and he says, we have to find brokers. You know, we got to get out of this mess as quickly as we can. You know, ideally you find one buyer that takes down the whole shipment, but he has no idea what's fine. But the Gvir saw was absolutely incredible. And what he had heard. Because when he started hitting the teva, all of a sudden he starts hearing a strange noise, right? Music to his ears. He starts hearing a little jingling sound. It sounds like coins. Chavushim sfunim shama that are locked up and they're hidden over there. Ukerega shogeres atev. He says, Chevra, bring the sledgehammer. And they come and they whack it, right? And they do a shchita on this thing. And all of a sudden, v'yipolel amachsa neira shechazu enof. Ki rak shnayim v'shloishne etzboi sichasu piatev me'aschayra hanukra b'shem shab. That's what it was. I have no idea what this is. But there was some thing that they had bought. The weirs that he had bought was only the first two or three etzboi. But everything inside of it, tachteim yamdu alofim v'revovo. You know, gelt, right? And the grum gave money. He said he stood there for a half hour. He couldn't believe what was going on. And then he remembered something. He remembered the bracha that the Shadar had given to this Nar when he was chapping with him. And he remembered how he told him, you're going to see, I'm going to come back in a year from now. You're going to be a gvir like your master is. And he had such a tzitter. Because he realized, this is for sure the bracha. There's no question in the world. There's no question in the world. And he said, if that's the case, it all belongs to him. It belongs to him because this was never meant for me. This was 100% meant for him. He goes on, he tells the story, how they started opening up all the other boxes. It was all money. Every last box was filled with money. The rest of the story is that apparently some pirates had taken over some ship. They had these wares. They came to Livarna. They sold it thinking that they were going to make a couple of shekels. Little did they know what was really hidden inside of it. And because of the bracha of this Shadar, It all ended up in the hands of this Gvir, and the Gvir and this Hira Tshuva understood what was right, and he went ahead and he gave it to this Yitzchak Gueta. And it was through this that Yitzchak Gueta became an Oysher Nifla. Skipping a little bit. Now that he has all this money sitting in an account, he was Holech V'Gadol. He decided he wants to learn Torah. He hired a very chashev rabbi to teach him Torah. And until he became someone so incredible, he became a mechaber svarim. He is the mechaber of this Nefes de Yitzchak. Fascinating story. This is how he becomes a gvir. But the story doesn't end there. At the end of his life, he had arichas yom. He lived till he was 80. Passed away in the year 1857. Throughout his life, really, he went in the custom. He always felt Hakar Satoiv to the Shadar. And he would always take care of the Shadars. And he would always send money to Eretz Yisrael. And his dream was one day to move to Eretz Yisrael. At the end of his life, he made Aliyah. He moved to Tzfas. When he was in Tzfas, he took his incredible wealth and he invested in the Jewish infrastructure in Tzfas. So we're all familiar with the earthquake that happened in the year 1837, the Chasam Sofer's famous Hesped. And there was a lot of destruction that took place. Rabbi Yitzchak Gueta is the one that rebuilt the Beis Yosef Shul. He rebuilt the Arizal Shul. He kept the koilel over there. He put money into the Beis HaKfaris. In fact, if you go to the Arizal Shul, the Sfardish Shul, in front is a plaque. Rabbi Yitzchak Gueta, he is the one that gave the money to rebuild and to rehabilitate the Arizal Shul. It was because he had this soft spot for Eretz Yisrael, because his Ashiris all came about through what? It all came about from this incredible story that took place with the Shadar. He's buried today in Tzvas. People go to his tzion. He's the author of the Sefer Stei Yitzchak that Rav Yaakov Hillel's Mechoin reprinted not so long ago. Either way, this is the story of Rav Yitzchak Gueta, a story of Torah v'gdula b'makom echad, story of incredible Torah and incredible gedula. It's interesting, by the way, that Rav Chaim Palagi in his Sefer Birchas Mayadecha L'chaim, I'm looking at it right now, this is in page Shin Ayin Beis, he writes, Drusha Darashti B'Shabbos Shuv Shnas Tofresh Yud Ches Bekal Kodesh Al Gazi Al Ashmur Kiba Me'arav Rabbi Yitzchak Gueta Bal Sefer Stei Yitzchak. He heard that he passed away and he talks about who he was. He said, Bal Sefer Stei Yitzchak Rav Palim Asher Higdol Lasois Ba'ori HaKodesh Tzvas Emes V'Tveria Tibone V'Sikoine Livnois V'Lentnaya Bat Ikneses U'Bat Medrashes Kenoida. These are the shuls that we all visit today. But Rabbi Yitzchak Gueta, an unsung, forgotten hero from Jewish history. So what does this have to do with Chulin Daf Samechei? More specifically, what does this have to do with grasshoppers? Good question. So if you take a look at Masechtas Chulin, Daf Nuntes, on the Mishnah that talks about grasshoppers, this is what he says. Emes Agin, I'm going to tell you the truth. Ki bimei churfi, when I was younger, Laila Achas, bimei achorif, it was one winter night, hayisni bebeisi soigeres and misugeres. I was in my house and I was locked up. Vayisi loymed kizois hasugya. I was learning the sugya of the grasshoppers. Vayisi medakdeik bimasha kosev Rashi zechorin levracha. And I was learning Rashi, who says the yesh like karsulayim. And Rashi says that the karsulayim are feet. So bothered me, keeping the karsulayim heke in raglayim. Havalei loymashi yesh le shesh raglayim. 4 feet and then 2 other feet. Just say that's 6 feet, right? I mean, that would make sense that it should say, Dezeh simen odev tvei, v'oid kimen sheish le arba knofayim, being that it has 4 wings, havelei lof beknofav. I couldn't figure out why it can't fly. K'mayshar oifos. V'yisi medame besichli. I was trying to visualize in my mind, heiche masuyin haknofayim, im kol konof yesh le shnayim oy echod al echod. I'm trying to figure this all out. And as I'm trying to make sense of this, all of a sudden a bird, an oifechad mizehamin, a grasshopper fell. Yefei mare, it was so handsome. And I picked it up with my hand. And I looked at it. And I found all the simonim that Rashi said on it. And I saw on its stomach, it has something that looks like a A red ches. And I saw the wings were folded on top of each other. And it's probably why it can't fly, because it has these double wings. In the morning I brought it to the Beis Medrash. Quotes him by name, Zechoyne Levracha, Ukishara Oisai, Ubadak, Kalasimonim, Amarze, Uvadoy Sheshmoy Chagov. This is the Chagov, Vetsuras Naches, Sheyeshle, Al Knopf, Hiroy Mezes, Lishmoy Chagov. And in fact, the Tsuras Naches, this is a remez to Shmoy Chagov. An incredible story that Rabbi Yitzchak Kueter brings right here, that he was going through the Sugi of Chagov at the Grasshopper, and he's trying to figure out what's going on here, and all of a sudden, I don't know, he said his house was closed, it was Sogro Misugeres, and Plitzling, all of a sudden this grasshopper shows up, and he brought it to Beis Medrash. He looked at it, it was Ma'ayin, and all of a sudden he was able to understand the sugya. In the psicha to the Stei Yitzchak, so they bring that in 1847 there was a maskil whose name doesn't have to be mentioned. He lived in Trieste, so he was an Italian maskil. He wrote, believe it or not, he wrote a kuntres. He wrote a machberes. It's not the original, but he wrote a machberes. It's called Vayistabel HaChogov. Now, you can't make this up. I'm reading here from the Psicha of Avat Shalom. Again, it's Rabbi Yaakov Hillel's Mechay. V'hi choyveres daka. It's a very thin choyveres. Machziko shiva dafen. It has 7 pages inside of it. Unadira hibiyos. It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. What is it? If you go through it, he took this piece, this one, somebody took the pain to take this one piece over here in Chulin Daf Nuntes, and he wrote a little 7-page Chayveris on it, and he makes Litzanas from it. It's 100% Litzanas. I'll just read you an excerpt. That's a good punchline. MS Agit, right? That's how the piece starts. Lefisha mechaber yodea ki ein adam ba'aret sheyamir ledvar ma'ela. She'ein adas soiv lesan. Moidia lakoil kudei lito in ezet sad chizik lechaloi moisav sheyaged MS. That's why he says MS Agit. And this is Mamish Tolding. He says that he describes this grasshopper as a yefei mara. He says, he said, loy roch ha'gavim yamav. So how did he know this was a handsome one? How does he know this is the roish ha'gavim he refers to? He Mamish makes Litzanis. Piece after piece. And this one point of his whole litzanis, he's like, it's impossible for something like this to happen. How could it happen? You're sitting in a closed room and all of a sudden a grasshopper showed up, and this maskil couldn't fathom how something like this could take place. And he mamish wrote a chayveris to make his point. He made litzanis from him. And everybody knows, I mean, this is the most famous story in the world, right? Everybody knows that not so long ago, Biyameinu b'zman hazeh, Hagoyin Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zeichet Tzadik v'Kodesh Levracha, when he was working on his sefer called Karnei Chagavim, which is printed in the Siach HaSadah, he had a maisa, there's videos of him saying that this story took place by him, where the bias was in such a situation, out of nowhere exactly what he was looking for was coming. So I don't know if this is the same grasshopper or this is a different grasshopper, but it's unbelievable. And it was interesting. Like, I was thinking not to read this, right? Why would I read this? And I said, okay, Avat Shalom brings it in the Psicha. So maybe you could read it. I mean, from Yaakov Hillel, the Machon brings it, so why can't you read it? But then I hopped afterwards. Faker, it's just the opposite. He brings out, you go through this, he can't believe it, because it's Mamash Anes. Adarabba. We know it happened. This is a miracle that we saw with our own eyes. Reb Chaim saw, and it was Maidia to everybody. This is something that we saw. So to the contrary, this is something that can happen, and something that did happen, and it didn't happen once. This is something that happened Pamayim Bahava. But it's so interesting that the grasshopper is showing up to help you figure out who he is. Right? It's very hard to figure out who the grasshopper is. But you know what the grasshopper does? He shows up. Just to end with this, I don't know, it's just the hergish I had. I'm going through the Gemara, right? We had this windy Gemara with the Klal Uprats and the Klal Uprats Uklals. Today, Rabbi Shmuel Tana, I just want to read an excerpt. We're not chasming the Gemara, don't worry about it. But just to redo one excerpt. Today, Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Elu Klali Klalois, the Elu Prate Pratois, Arba Ze Goivai. Leminoi, lahavi tzipayrus krom. Ein liela haba ve'ein legabach. Hey, touch those words. Ein liela haba, right? Ein liela haba. This is only true if the grasshopper comes and he has no gabachas. Haba, if he comes v'yesh lo gabachas minayin. Talmud loy masolam zenipa. Leminei lahavi tzipayrus krom. Ein liela haba ve'ein legabachas. Or haba v'yesh lo gabachas. Haba ve'ein lo zanav. Also, above yesh loizanov, how you go? Veinli ella above ein legabachas, above yesh legabachas, above ein loizanov, above yesh loizanov, above ein roishayar, above roishayaruk. Hurry out the dawn, loy roish, like a roish. Go through every single cloud of platu cloud. I didn't go through all of them. Above ein li ella ein legabachas, How do you know if it's a yeshlo? What's this haba? What does this word mean? I couldn't teach the word. I had to prepare shit. I didn't have to teach the word. I looked in every art scroll gemara. I couldn't figure out what does it mean. It means if the Arbish comes and he looks like this, he looks like that. What's going on over here? Could be there's a remez l'dafar over here tucked away in this gemara. The Arba used to show up. I don't know why. Chleisnish. Maybe it's doing makas. I have no idea. Right, makas Arba. These are the tzachadash ba'chav. The Barbanel said the gagal god of Gilui Kvayt Shemayim came from the ba'chavs. I have no idea. But the bottom line is the Arba used to show up. This, if he shows up, and you know, you look at him. Hatagabachas on nishkagabachas. Hatazun about nishkain zonah. But maybe a little bit of a remez. That word habay. Mamash don't know what it's doing here, and it mentions it 20 times. Go through. It. Why is what do you mean habo? It was the last time a grasshopper showed up at your front door. The terrorist says it's happened. And it happened more than once. It happened in 19th century Italy by Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta. It happened more recently in 20th century Bnei Brak by Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. Either way, this is the story of the Stei Yitzchak. Thank you, Nachi. Yehi Zichro Yisrael Rabbi Yitzchak Guetta Baruch.